When it comes to the construction of the Great Pyramid, I find the hardest thing to explain is how accurately it is aligned to itself, meaning that it's very square, more so than any other major work that we see in human history up until close to the Industrial Age. Now, moving big stones is easy, especially if you, like myself, don't believe the pyramid was built in 20 to 30 years like Egyptologists claim. If we remove that absurd time constraint, well, all manner of lifting and moving stones becomes possible. But making those stones square, aligning that structure to itself so well the margin of error is less than 1/1000th of a percent, that's pretty impressive to me. At 756 feet per side, a couple of inches of deviation being the most that we see, the accuracy stands out for a construction so long ago. Now, the mainstream position on how this was done was first posited by Mark Lehner, and it's based on the assumption that these holes that outline the perimeter of the Great Pyramid were used for stakes with the intention of wrapping ropes around those stakes to alleviate sag, because that's a major issue if you're going to measure 756 feet with ropes. Their ropes are going to sag. So their idea was you would wrap it around these sticks and that would keep it from sagging. Now, obviously, this hypothesis is ill thought out. Every time you wrap the rope around a stake, you're going to change the overall length of the thing at the end, so it's not going to be any more accurate that way. Now, there's a lot of questions that get asked about the construction of the Great Pyramid, so things like this tend to frequently get ignored. But obviously, that doesn't sit right with me or I wouldn't be making a video, huh? Hi, my name's Dan and welcome to Dedunking. Now, searching for a better idea than ropes around stakes seems like it wouldn't be too difficult, but it's actually pretty puzzling. Now, I worked construction for a long time, long enough to know that the foundation of this size would be measured with lasers today. Now, I don't think that the ancient Egyptians had lasers, and I don't think that the Anunnaki laid this foundation out with spaceships. I think it was done with something simple but effective that we don't really quite grasp today. Something along the lines of the implementation of fractals and cell phone antennas. Now, when I was a younger guy, cell phones had these giant antennas that you had to extend in order to get a call or a signal just pretty much anywhere. And today, those antennas are basically invisible, but they're more effective. The reason is the fractal antenna. By using different fractal shapes, they're able to make antennas much more sensitive, and they make them very small, now just little small wafers that are inside of your phone. And no, I am not saying the ancient Egyptians had access to cell phones any more than I'm saying they had access to lasers. I'm saying something that we already understand, but has not quite been implemented in the right way, could have simple but profound implications, and I think that's the thing we should be looking for when we look for ancient Egyptian anomalous technology. Now, my hypothesis for a possible technique for measuring those long distances definitely needs testing, but it may well be a viable candidate for those long distances and how they were measured so accurately. Now, using tech that we know they had in those days, polished copper mirrors are something that have been found in ancient Egypt. And if a mirror was curved in on itself to form a concave mirror that we know the ancient Greeks had, it becomes an entirely different contraption. Concave mirrors have a fixed focal point. It's always the same distance from the mirror as you can see here. That distance is a function of the size of the complete imaginary sphere that that concave mirror would be a part of. It's half the radius to be exact. So in the case of the Great Pyramid, to make 756 feet, you would need about a 3,000 foot imaginary sphere. So the piece of a mirror would have to be a piece of a 3,000-foot sphere. That's obviously gigantic, but the mirror doesn't need to be that big. It just needs to be a little piece of it, right? Just a small concave piece would theoretically do the job. Now, the focal point's a circle of light, and it's always the exact same distance. A disc with concentric circles, like this stone disc here that we found in ancient Egypt, could function as a target. Each circle marking a different distance, when the circle of light fills the circle on the mirror, you know you're at the prescribed distance. Now, in order for this to function, the light needs to strike the mirror on a parallel. Otherwise, it doesn't find the focal point. But when a concave mirror is hit with light that isn't parallel, but it crosses that focal point, the light's reflected is parallel. So with two mirrors, you could easily set it up to reflect sunlight into a parallel that could be used to measure a distance. Hypothetically. Now, all mirrors and the target would need to be at fixed heights. The holes along the perimeter that Lehner posited were for stakes to wrap the rope around may well have been for putting those poles in that had the mirrors and the targets affixed to them. But if it was done properly, theoretically, a person could calculate distance based on the size of the circle of light made, as long as the focal point was near the distance meant to be measured to. Too near or too far and there is no circle of light, but in that sweet spot, it grows and shrinks according to the distance from the mirror. Like I said, this needs experimentation before we could say anything really for sure about it. The edge of the circle of light would be a bit fuzzy, that much is known. How much so? That's something we'd need to check. Also, how large that mirror would have to be in order to practically make that circle of light is something else I would really like to check. Sadly, I'm not like Sacred Geometry Decoded or some of these other guys. I don't have time and funds to spend on things like this as much as I would like to. Well, one day I would like to. I mean, I do believe that this may well be the best hypothesis for how they achieved the amazing accuracy they did. It doesn't rely on ancient high tech. It doesn't assume that they did it that it was just ropes and sticks, and it uses tools that we know they had at their disposal. It even explains why they would make these goofy ass plates. Anyway, thanks so much for taking the time to watch. I know that I covered this before, but I do feel I did a pretty piss poor job of it, and I've gotten better at making videos, so here I am being better at making videos, doing less of a piss poor job. Thank you very much. Take build buttons, press them, and see you next time.